Well, church, I'm going to do the opposite of what Pastor Mark did this morning. We covered one verse, and tonight, instead of just covering my one anchor verse, I decided to do the whole chapter. So we're going to read all of Philippians chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to take a deep dive into what it has to offer, as the author Paul kind of brings some truth and some encouragement to the church at Philippi. So in the honor of God's word, I ask that you stand as we read the first chapter of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of this righteousness that comes from through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is the clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity just to come together and as a body of Christ in humble fellowship and honor to glory, to bring glory and magnify the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for Paul, and thank you for his heart towards this church of Philippi. And Lord, this encouragement that we can take away as we can find assurance in you as you are our creator and the person who will continue to guide us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. In your name I pray, amen. So church, we got the long part out of the way. Now let's dive deep into what this means. So I want to kind of group some verses together and give some emphasis and highlight some main points of this chapter. So in the beginning portion in the greeting, we notice that Paul and Timothy are included in this letter, this epistle from Paul, and knowing that Paul is the author of this letter, we also know that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. But a significant thing is that he is in prison at this time. And we also see that Timothy is mentioned by Paul, and Timothy is considered a spiritual son of Paul. And so he's part of the evangelist, group with Paul. And so this epistle, this letter, is for the believers in Philippi. And for, an illustration purpose, this is located in the northeast region of modern-day Greece. I couldn't really pinpoint that on a map unless it said Greece, and this is where Philippi was, but to help you all out, that's where it's at. And so moving further into the next grouping of scripture, we see a thanksgiving and prayer section from Paul. And it starts off with Paul's gratitude in their partnership in the gospel. And what this means is they've come together as a body of Christ and followed what the gospel says, believed in the gospel, and followed what the scriptures had to say. And then we get to Philippians 1:6, and that is the anchor verse that I want to kind of emphasize for y'all tonight. And later on, I'll describe how Philippians 1:6 has been an anchor in my life for some time now. But Philippians 1:6 talks about Paul's confidence and assurance in God in the work for his people. From the day that they were created to the time that they were walking through at that time, and also into forever and eternity. Another important thing to note that Paul calls them partakers of grace. And when, church, we know that grace is defined as something, or getting something that we do not deserve. And so we're all in that. We're all partakers of grace because it is found in Jesus. And he closes this section in prayer to these believers, saying that so that you may approve what is excellent and be so pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul tends to always end his prayer with giving praise and glory to God, and that is obviously something to highlight. Moving further, we see the subtitle of the advancement of the gospel, the advance of the gospel, and it kind of starts off with Paul's imprisonment helped spread the gospel to the imperial guard. And so a time when Paul was going through suffering, a time when Paul was not with the body of believers, he was isolated, he was in a hardship of and difficulty of time, he still used that opportunity to spread the gospel. He wanted to advance it to everyone he had come across. And so with Paul's example of being in prison, still encouraged to spread the gospel, we can learn that suffering produces advancement for the gospel. So our suffering, it can be rooted as a gift that we'll speak more in just a little bit. And moving into verse 14, it says, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And not knowing what Pastor Mark was going to preach on this morning, he mentioned that fear is one of the deepest and mostly demotivators for spreading the word, to spreading the gospel. And so by Paul's imprisonment, by his standing firm and standing bold in the faith, they have found boldness for themselves to spread the word without fear. And so as suffering produces advancement for the gospel, suffering produces boldness to speak the word. And so moving further into the next grouping of verses, to live is Christ, that we read in verse 21. But before we get there, I want to highlight verse 20, as it says, "As it is written, my eager expectation and hope, that I will not at all be ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." So I want to take a pause here, because I think that we can all kind of come together in understanding that sin can be such a distraction, such a thing that we want to bottle up and hide, to where when we look at the cross, we want to remember it as a way that Christ died for those sins. But yet, we have a tendency to, when we walk through sin, when we make mistakes, when we fail, we want to run from it. We want to try and escape the cross because we don't want anybody to know about it. And so that can get skewed in a way of not understanding what the gospel means, what it's actually there for. And so our expectation and hope, as Paul talks about, should be the cross, not to escape it. So this is part of his encouragement to these believers. And then we get to verse 21 saying, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." So the times when I've been up here before, I've talked about how we have a purpose. While you're still on this earth, you have a purpose through your talent, skills, and ability. And through living for Christ, we have a purpose while we are here on this earth. And yes, as if you, as believers of Christ, as we die, yes, our citizenship is in heaven. But while we're here, we have that purpose to continue to live out our calling. But to die is to gain, because we'll be with God forever in heaven. And so we ought to live for Christ, because our lives are found in Christ. And that's where our identity lies, and that's what we should hold on to. Then we move further into verse 27. It says, "Only let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Church, think about just the last hour of your life. Only let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Think about the last 5 hours, the last day, the last week, or the last month. Paul's encouragement is that our life should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And it's of Christ, because our life can't be worthy without him. And if we're going to walk the walk and talk the talk of trying to do our own thing, then our life is not worthy first and foremost. But when we have Christ, then that should be our encouragement. That should be our hope, turning back to the cross. So having confidence in the flesh does not follow what Paul is teaching here. Paul's actually teaching the opposite. As we get to verse 29, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." But also suffer for his sake. And so we get to this idea that suffering can be perceived as a gift if you perceive your faith as a gift. And so if we perceive our faith as a gift, which you ought to, because without Christ, there is no faith. He allowed for faith to actually be a thing. And so with Christ, we have faith. And through our faith, every trial, every difficulty, but also every accomplishment and every success in your life, that's building our faith, understanding that there are promises of God that we're able to walk through. But there's also difficult times, as Paul's in prison, yet for the sake of the gospel, to advance the gospel. And so our suffering can be a gift if your faith is a gift. Those can go hand in hand. And yes, in the moment when suffering is, when you're walking in the middle of suffering and you have no idea why it's happening or when it's going to happen, in those times, your mind's not thinking this way. But this is why Paul is talking about it. This is something that we can cling to and lean on to as we're walking through suffering and follow Paul's example as he was in prison. And maybe in y'all's circumstance, maybe away from your family, away from your kids, away from your best friends, away from work. Yet he was still using it as a gospel opportunity, as an advancement for the gospel. And so that kind of sums up the first chapter. And so I want to go back to Philippians 1:6. And to everyone here, this just looks like a normal green sheet of paper, right? With really no meaning to it. Why do I have a green sheet of paper? I guess the green highlighter from Pastor Mark. But if I turn around, now we have some meaning to it. Philippians 1:6. This is the NIV version. I got this when I was in high school. But Philippians 1:6 in the NIV version says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." And so going into my senior year of high school, my youth minister asked every student in the youth group to pick one word that they wanted to focus on that year. And so this is the beginning of the school year in 2017, going into 2018. But this is in August, getting ready for the school year. "But without hesitation, I knew my word was confidence. My word was confidence because there's a lot of things that I walked through as a young kid, as a young teen, and I guess days up until now, that I never knew, thought what was going to happen. It was big things. It was small things. But having confidence was a key thing that I needed, or I thought I needed, and I didn't know where to find it. And so, just a week later, the youth pastor gave me this green card, and this piece of paper has been with me pretty much everywhere I go, and now it has a safe spot in my office now. But it's been in my car, it's been on my bathroom mirror, it's been in my bedroom, it's been everywhere. It's got toothpaste stains, sweat stains, probably some teardrops here and there. But this card means something, not because of the object it is, but what's on it. This Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So from the beginning of time, God has orchestrated every single step in your life. He has orchestrated every suffering, every hardship, every difficulty, but also all the joyful, all the happy, all the successes, all the accomplishments, because he's molding you into the person that he wants you to be. And I guess I'm confident now to be able to stand firm in that and understand that and being rooted and finding my foundation in the confidence in Christ, in the assurance in Christ. Because this whole time I've been trying to find assurance and finding confidence within myself. And I guess on a practical standpoint, yeah, it's good to be confident in yourself, but not to the level of trying to find your soul satisfaction within yourself. So the sufferings that I was walking through before Philippians 1:6 had such a key, well, I guess in this case, anchor in my life. These sufferings led to a lack of assurance, lack of confidence, and ultimately a lack of peace. I found no rest. But I want to highlight the confidence that I was finding within myself. It hurt deep, and I was doing it to myself. So the confidence that I was trying to find within myself is how I performed. All the things that I said, all the actions that I was taking, I was trying to find it in my performance. And so when I failed, when I made a mistake, I failed hard. And I ripped myself up for it. I tore myself apart. And I can still find myself doing that today. Through my performance, but also growing up in school, just trying to fit in. But the one thing I do want to highlight with this whole trying to find some confidence is I was trying to be perfect with everything I did. And when I was trying to be perfect, time and time again, it's like my mind like did a reset. I'm like, you can do it. You're perfect. And I continued to fail. And so it took time. I'm still working on it today. But Philippians 1:6, going back, I guess, to the version that we talked about tonight is, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So whatever you're walking through right now, whatever you have walked through, or whatever you're going to walk through, God is so good. God is so good. We may not see it, or that may not be the first thing on our minds when we're walking through things. But when Paul was sitting in prison, he was trying to spread the gospel, encourage people to walk in the gospel, to seek after the gospel, when he didn't have anything. He had a pen and paper. And so going on to the points on your outline, the first point is this. Assurance found in Christ leads to dependence on gospel promises of our Creator. Our Creator is God. Our Creator is the creator of all things, created you and me, created everything that we're looking at. So finding confidence, finding assurance in Christ leads to dependence on gospel promises. And church, we see promises everywhere in Scripture. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see them. We've experienced them. We know about them. But are we relying on them? Are we seeking after them and are we trusting them? That's where that dependence is. Matthew Henry said it well. The highest honor of the most eminent ministers is to be servants of Christ. And those who are not really saints on earth will never be saints in heaven. Out of Christ, the best saints are sinners, unable to stand before God. There is no place without grace. Inward peace brings a sense of divine favor, and there is no grace and peace but from God our Father, the fountain and the origin of all blessing. Reading this quote as I was preparing for tonight, it just brought back everything that I've walked through. And I just found the most joy in what I've had to walk through. And looking at the life of Paul, this quote describes what he's trying to do for the gospel, for these believers in Philippi. But going back to how I was trying to be perfect, the best saints are sinners, unable to stand before God. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that I was able to do to be perfect. And so when I was in my own suffering, I was looking inward rather than upward. I was looking inward rather than towards Christ. Now to the second point. Your testimony serves to advance the gospel. Your testimony serves to advance the gospel. That's what Paul's trying to do here. His personal testimony, his personal sufferings, his personal hardships, his personal difficulties, and his darkest days, darkest nights. He's doing everything he can for Christ. And if that's not encouragement, I don't know what is. Dan Ortlund is a famous author. He wrote the book Gentle and Lowly. And this book, it does such a great job of illustrating Jesus' heart for his people, for his church. And this quote that I'm about to read just goes hand in hand with this point. Jesus is comforted when you draw from the riches of his atoning work, because his own body is getting healed. That may sound a little weird. But Jesus is comforted when you draw from the riches of his atoning work. And as we are a week out from Easter, remembering what Christ suffered for us, what he suffered on the cross for us, his atoning work, his saving grace, his mercy upon our lives, taking the cross on our behalf. As we look to that, as we remember that, as we live for that, his body, the body of Christ, y'all have heard that phrase before, is getting healed. As we seek after Christ, we understand more of his atoning work. As we gather as the body of Christ, we understand his atoning work. And I believe that's what Dan was trying to fulfill there. So, I could have just stayed at Philippians 1:6, and I could have just went off the rails and trying to figure out to try to explain it myself. But we know that sometimes scripture can get out of context when you're just trying to look at one verse. So why not read the whole chapter? And so let scripture answer scripture. Let scripture answer your questions. Let scripture seep and saturate into your heart and allow scripture to answer this title. Let scripture answer this anchor verse series. And so that was the motivation behind covering all of Philippians 1. We've seen Paul's heart. We've seen Paul's gratitude. We've seen Paul's confidence. We've seen his advancement. And we see his life living for Christ. And I hope that serves as encouragement for all of you, as it does me. Paul also closes his letters in such a powerful way. And in Philippians 4, at the bottom of your outline, I mean, there's probably other verses that can kind of sum this, just talked about. But this does the job well. It says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Day by day, it's a spiritual battle, but he's going to supply everything that you need. So we've learned about not being anxious about anything. We've learned that tomorrow is not guaranteed, but we're in today, and God will supply your every need. Brad's going to come and lead us in a last song, but I'm going to pray for us as we end the night. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as the body of Christ to reflect on one believer who wanted to advance the gospel, a person who suffered greatly, a person who walked through the depths of depths to live for Christ. So I pray and hope that we can look to this first chapter of Philippians and the rest of Scripture and understand that our lives should be for Christ, and that our lives should be lived in a manner worthy of Christ, and that life being worthy is only through Christ. So Lord, let us continue to seek after him. And most importantly, let us find assurance in our Creator. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.